Welcome back to the Mackenzie series. So after the last episode, A Colorful Situation, I had to take a pause. It's been 9 years since I've written this book. So reading it for this podcast has been very interesting to kind of go back to my first baby, my first book that I ever released. And oh my God, I forgot how like juicy and good that chapter was. I remember when I first released the book, that was definitely one of the chapters that people were emailing me, or when I came across them, were talking about that chapter with Mackenzie and D. D definitely became a reader's favorite. But also I was surprised at how many people said that that chapter was a conversation starter for them in their relationships at the time, to talk about, you know, experiences that the female in the situation may have had with, other women in college and all of that. And readers really enjoy how it was written in a manner that was like very realistic, but also very vivid, and one that they could, you know, like put faces and scenarios to and just kind of really relate to, which I'm, you know, mentioned in the welcome episode. Like, Mackenzie is definitely one of those characters that is your girl next door. When I wrote this book and the two books that follow in this series, I wanted to write it from a standpoint that the average person could relate to. I read so many books that, you know, the characters are nowhere near my everyday life. So me being an everyday person, when I wrote these books or wrote this series, you know, I wanted to write it from a standpoint that the readers could relate to, you know, and identify with. Maybe they're Mackenzie, you know, maybe they're Jay, maybe they're Kelly, maybe they had an encounter with the D, maybe they had an encounter with a mate that was like Milton that just spazzed out behind, you know, stuff that happened in the past. So I hope you are enjoying it so far. I have to say that I'm actually enjoying reading this. I feel like I should have done this a while ago, and I like this format better than an ebook. So yeah, I think I may be onto something here, but definitely excited that I'm doing this as this book is approaching its 9th birthday. So we are definitely going to pick up tonight from where we left off with Mackenzie and see what's in store next. You know, is Milton going to come around? Are we going to encounter another entry from this journal that Mackenzie kept? Let's see what else Mackenzie gets herself into. And yeah, like I said, maybe Milton comes back around. Who knows? But let's see. So as we begin, as always, get comfortable, relax, and let our journey begin. The email, April 11th, 2009, 8:30 a.m. Dear Mackenzie, I just wanted to let you know that I made it to Carolina safely. I did not want you to worry. I am still not at a point where I'm ready to deal with all that transpired the other day. I'm still trying to make sense of those things that I read, and to think there was so much more that I didn't read. I am hesitant to think about what else I would have stumbled on had I held out on saying things a few days longer. Kenz, you really hurt me. You gave me the impression that you were such a good girl. I trusted you. I just cannot come to terms with giving my all to someone with your past. We all have done wrong and done things that were foolish. Yet, that is not what hurts. What hurts is that you did not tell me at all. Whatever happened to communication? Whatever happened to honesty and trust? Well, I am at a loss for words. I am not sure what else there is to say. Just know that I'm safe and all is well. 1. Well, at least he was all right, I thought to myself. Damn, he must have really been mad. This is so new to me. Milton and I have always been able to work out our little spats in the past. Yeah, maybe I should have laid it all out there in the beginning, but I follow the don't ask, don't tell rule. I'm sure there are things in Milt's past that I am unaware of, but I could not see myself reacting the way he did. The past is simply that, the past. It would have been different if I had still been doing even half that shit. I know he had a lot on his plate, work, his mom being ill, the wedding, so I guess that maybe it was just nerves and stress setting in. Time heals all wounds, and I was sure my man would be back soon. I decided to not even stress it. Ms. Johnson, you have a call on line 3. The receptionist buzzed in over the intercom of the phone. I guess that it was my mom calling to see what was going on with the wedding. She was always dying to stick her nose in my business. Good thing this was my planning period. This could take some time if it was mom. Mackenzie speaking. Hey girl, how are you? I called you last night, but you did not answer. I just assumed that your man had come home and you all were having some great makeup sex, Kelly said on the other end. Had I known it was her, I would have told the receptionist to put her into my voicemail. She was worse than my mom when it came to being nosy. No, he still has not come home. I was just tired, so I took it down. Damn, he is going hard. Have you called down to his mom's to see if he made it there safely? She asked, sounding somewhat concerned. No, I did not. I respect his space. I did get an email from him this morning saying he was there. I was sitting here now contemplating if I should respond back or just let it go. I sighed deeply. Well, thanks for calling to check up on me. I'm doing fine. I'm going to get off this phone so that I can get ready for the next class. I have a free day Thursday. Maybe we can do dinner or something. I had no idea where the conversation with Kelly was going, and I had too much ahead to get stuck on the phone. I looked at the clock and saw that it was 1:30. 30 minutes until my class began. I buzzed the main office and asked the receptionist to put all calls into my voicemail. As I was sitting there waiting for the next class to barge in, I decided to email Milton back. I was not sure what he was thinking now. I'm worried that he might think I didn't care and never come home if I didn't respond to his email. April 11th, 2009, 1:32 p.m. Good afternoon, sweetie. I just wanted to let you know that I received your email this morning. I'm glad to see you made it there safely. I hope your mom is doing fine. Milton, I really do not know what to say to you because I'm not sure what you are thinking at this time. Please understand that I love you a lot. I apologize if reading those things hurt you. I understand how learning those things about my past could be disturbing. You found out things about me that I had never mentioned to you before. But Milt, I did not see how those encounters were relevant to the present time, the relationship that we share, and the person that I am now. I just wish that we could talk about how you are feeling and try to work through this. We are about to get married. I respect your wanting to clear your head, but we still need to deal with this. I hope that you will come home soon. I miss you. Love, Kins. Oh, shit. I've messed up now. After work, I stopped by Carlito's to get some lasagna. I ordered takeout because I was not in the mood to be sitting in a crowded restaurant. It was out of the way, but tonight I needed to treat myself. Since Milt had gone, I hadn't been happy to come home. Today, however, I would not have wanted to be any other place. It didn't happen often, but I was drained. All I wanted to do was eat my lasagna, have a glass of wine, and get a hot bubble bath. After I ate, I decided I would keep to the plan and take a nice long bubble bath. As I was running the water from my bath, I went down to the basement just to check to see if Milt had been by there. I knew his email had said he was in Carolina, but he could have been pulling my leg. I guess I was just wishing too much. No sign of him at all. I walked over to the desk and picked up yet another piece of paper that Milt had torn from an old journal. I took it upstairs with me to the bathroom. I was glad I got there when I did because the water was about to spill over. Damn, this dude has really got me tripping. It was so relaxing just to sit in the hot water and unwind. The only thing that was missing was some candles and some nice jazz playing. But shit, my man was not here, so why even tease myself by setting the mood? As I settled myself into the tub, I reached over to grab the sheet of paper from earlier. August 15th, 1995. Mackenzie, what the hell have you gotten yourself into this time? This is all that I can ask myself in light of my recent situation. Today, I found out that Tyrone, the guy that I once had a sexual dealing with, and Travis, the guy that flirts with me at work, are brothers. Two fucking brothers. It still has yet to set in. Same mom, same daddy. This is none of that fake brother shit that goes on out here in the street with close friends. These dudes are fucking blood related. I've definitely got to slow my ass down because shit out here, it's crazy. You never know who knows who or who is related to whom for that matter. Tyrone was indeed a ladies' man. I had met him through Jay. He was her baby daddy's best friend. Since she and I were mad cool, it seemed like the right thing to do for Tyrone and I to hang out. Looking back on it, I could see that he really was not my type. But we had good conversation and we had a ball when we hung out together. One night, chilling at Jay's apartment, we were all cutting up, smoking weed and drinking gin and juice. Somehow, we decided to play spin the bottle. I do believe Jay's crazy ass initiated this game. Here we are, grown-ass people playing some damn game kids play in the basement of their house when they begin experimenting with sex. But we were fucked up and there was nothing else to do. Jay went to the kitchen and returned with an empty Pepsi bottle. She lit a candle, I guess to set the mood, she claimed. She spun first. The bottle landed on me. Spin that shit over. I am not kissing you, I said, trying to hold back my laughter and sound serious. Come to mama. You know you've been wanting to kiss me for so long. Here's your chance. Okay, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I closed my eyes and cringed as I pecked her on the lips. I know too much shit about Jay to be slobbing her down. Of course, the guy said we cheated. Their asses were in heat, and they were looking for some girl-on-girl action. Not happening at all. So it was Tyrone's turn to spin. Again, it landed on me. What the fuck? Is this bottle rigged? I asked, annoyed as hell. Tyrone and I were cool, but I did not want to kiss him. I knew he would try some crazy shit. We had hung out several times, but we had never come close to anything intimate aside from a casual hug as we were greeting each other in parting ways. Even on our drunkest night, nothing had ever happened. So in the interest of being a good sport, I prepared myself for what was about to happen. Man, I pass. I don't want to kiss Ken's. Jay, you know if I kiss your girl, she's going to pass out. Do you think she can handle this? His ass was so fucking cocky. Tyrone was your typical light-skinned pretty boy. He had the pretty hair, dressed nicely, and had the fly whip. He had a chick on every side of town. You could not tell him he was not the shit. Hurry up so we can get this shit over. I swear, if the next person lands on me, I'm not playing this shit no more, I said, irritated at this point. My high was about to be blown. I knew I should have just smoked and left. Tyrone came over beside me and whispered, we need to stand for this. Man, it is just a kiss, said Mark. Mark was Jay's baby daddy. Count it, Jay, so I can get this shit over, I said. 1, 2, 3. Tyrone and I leaned in and we kissed. I was expecting it to be quicker than the kiss Jay and I shared, but for some reason, my body responded in a manner that I was not expecting. And 3 minutes later, Jay was pulling us apart. Damn, for two people that acted like kissing was the deadliest sin, you both seemed to be enjoying it very much. Shut the hell up, bitch. I'm out, I screamed. Aw, you are such a poor sport, Jay yelled after me. What the hell ever, Jay? I am out. I have shit I need to be doing in the morning. Tyrone interrupted our spat. Well, I need to roll out with you, Kins. I left my car at your house, remember? Well, you need to get your monkey ass up. The ride to my spot was quiet. We pulled up to my place, and as I was walking to the door, Tyrone asked if he could take a quick nap before he drove all the way to the other side of town. Do you think that I'm running a fucking taxi service and a hotel? I asked, somewhat annoyed at this point. Man, Kans, I'm too fucked up for this. I'll just take a quick nap in the car since you acting all crazy. Don't even act like that. Get your ass in here, I said as I grabbed his arm. Tyrone came in and we got straight in the bed. His body felt so good pressed against mine, but I dared not let his cocky ass know that. I was not pressed for spending the rest of the night arguing with him, not tonight anyway. As soon as I got comfortable, I was out for the count. It had been a very long day, and everything was starting to catch up with me. Trying to have a social life and hang out with my friends in conjunction with school had become so overwhelming. Just as I was entering a deep sleep, I felt these little soft kisses on the back of my neck. I was tripping in my head once I realized what was going on and who was in my bed. I opted to ignore it. I really was trying to play hard and get some sleep, but it continued. At that point, I turned to lay on my back, thinking that would cease the soft kisses that were being placed upon my neck. But I guess this put me in an even more compromising position. I continued to lay there because I really was trying to get some fucking sleep. I really was exhausted. But as I lay there on my back, I felt his body pressed against mine and the kisses on my neck were becoming more passionate. Now I was really tripping. I thought his ass wanted to take a nap, was the thought that ran across my mind. What the hell are you doing? I thought you were tired. You could have driven your ass. In mid-sentence, his ass tongued me down. I was not sure what happened, but my body responded in the complete opposite manner than what I was thinking in my mind. Before I could say anything else, my breasts were in his mouth. The more he sucked, the harder he got, and the wetter I became. I quickly dismissed all thoughts that were playing in my head and instantly got with the program of trying to explore what was in those boxers. I could feel his manhood poking out the little hole against my skin. In no way did I think he would be packing like that. Damn, homeboy was packing a very long and thick package on him. Mackenzie may have finally met her match. Damn, Kenzie, look what you did to me, he said in this sexy-ass voice. Wait a damn minute. This is not Tyrone Stevens, I remember saying to myself. Someone else must have sneaked into that bed because I was turned on to the ultimate degree. Your slick ass started this and I'm about to finish it, I responded. I reached into the drawer on the nightstand next to the bed and pulled out a condom. He took the condom from me and placed it on his manhood. Once he had wrapped up, he used his finger to rub my womanhood to see if I was wet enough. I'm sure he was surprised to see that there was already a river beginning to flow down there. I was definitely ready for him to enter. When he entered me, I had to cringe just a bit. It had been a longest time since I had something that big inside me. Once he got it in and we got in a groove, he gave me a true workout. He started out with slow, deep strokes. He made sure that I felt every inch of him, and boy, was I feeling every bit of what he had to offer. Damn, had I known Tyrone was doing it like that, I would have given him some ass long before that night. He instructed me to turn over and get on all fours. Doggy style was my favorite position. Once he entered me from behind, I had to bury my head in the pillow. It felt like his dick was going in one way and coming out my mouth. That was how deep he was putting that dick inside me. After we got the rhythm going again, I began backing that ass up on him. I heard him let out a few moans that assured me of how good I was giving it back to him. It got so intense, he started smacking that ass. That in turn made me start to moan louder. I love a man to rough me up a little in bed. As he continued to give it to me from the back, I took my hand and reached between my legs to grab his balls. This must have put the icing on the cake because after about six more strokes and my tugging at his balls, his ass came like a bitch. Damn, Kenzie, most women cannot handle me, but you were taking this dick like a soldier, he said, gasping for breath. Man, there you go with your cocky ass. You sure know how to fuck up a good moment. Needless to say that after that encounter, Tyrone and I began sleeping together on a regular basis. We slept together at least 4 days out of the 7-day week. Things really started to get crazy between us. Our sexual relationship continued for about 7 months or so. It eventually got to the point where we had to back off because it was starting to get too serious, and that was something that neither of us really wanted. Tyrone had too much pride, and the reality of him spending all of his time with one woman was starting to play with his ego. So we agreed to do our thing for a while and not see each other. What we had intended on being a short break turned into a year-long break. It was so bad, we even avoided being over Jay's crib at the same time. After about the 6 months of no Tyrone, I started taking Travis up on his lunch offers. Travis had come in as a temp around the same time Tyrone and I started sleeping together. He worked in the office of the school where I was doing my student teacher internship. Travis was not outwardly attractive, but he was fly. He could dress his ass off. He had that preppy look going for him, which made him cute. He was about 5'11", 190 pounds, light skin, had pearly white teeth, and kept his hair cut low. On any given day, he would rock some freshly starched khaki pants, a button-up shirt underneath a polo sweater, and some casual loafers. I would often hang out in the office with Travis between classes and we would chat. After some time, he built up the courage to ask me out to lunch. Travis was a real sweetie. He was very polite, respectful, and fun. A true gentleman. For a while, I had put off on lunch with him because I was running home at lunchtime to get it in with Tyrone. After things ended with Tyrone, however, I no longer had much to do on my lunch break, so I began to take Travis up on his offers. Shit, I always love to eat, especially if I do not have to pay. It got to the point where lunch was not providing enough time for us, so our lunch dates soon turned into dinner dates. We did the stuff that Tyrone and I would never do because we were too busy fucking. I could never understand why Travis did not have a girlfriend. He didn't seem to be interested in other women. One night, Travis invited me to go to the steakhouse with him after work. He was having some family issues and he really needed to talk to someone. He was a sweet guy, and being there to lend a listening ear was the least I could do. Plus, the more time I spent with him, the less I thought about sleeping with Tyrone. It had been a minute since we had last had any contact with each other, but every now and again, I would think of him and want to call. Before Travis and I went to eat, we stopped by my place so that I could shower and change clothes. I had been on a field trip earlier that day and clearly needed to shower before I went anywhere. Travis did not mind. He just needed someone to talk to. I tried my best to be quick and not take too long so that we could get to dinner. "Travis, can you bring me that towel I have on my bed?" I asked as I yelled through the bathroom door. I was standing in the middle of the bathroom floor with my back turned when Travis opened the door to bring me the towel. "Damn, Mackenzie, I did not know you had that much junk in your trunk," he said. He startled me a bit. We both laughed at his comment. "You would not know what to do with this with an ass like this, boy, so get your eyes up off of it," I said as I snatched the towel from him to dry off. "You missed the spot." "Then get it for me," I said in a joking manner. Travis walked closer to me and pinned my hands behind my head as he aggressively pressed his body against mine. Before I knew it, his pants were down and my legs were wrapped around his waist. He carried me all the way to the bedroom and threw me on the bed. "Damn, he's aggressive," I thought as he came toward me on the bed. I directed him to the basket on the nightstand so that he could get a condom. You would have thought he had done this before because he knew the routine with no hesitation. As he wrapped himself up, I adjusted myself so that I was comfortable in the bed. Travis had a package on him. He was not as long as I like, but he was thick as hell. I had to give him credit, though. He knew how to work what he had. He took my legs and lifted them behind my head as he went in and out. He had me tangled up like a human pretzel. I had forgotten how flexible I was. Travis must have been just as backed up as I was because we both came after about 10 minutes. I did not complain, though, because that was one of the best quickies I had ever had. We both looked at each other crazy afterwards. It was clearly too late to be rational. The act had already taken place. Travis and I jumped in the shower for a quick wash up so that we could make it to dinner. We both were tripping in the shower because we could not believe what had just taken place. It took us about 15 minutes to get to the restaurant and get seated. While we were waiting for the waiter, we both sat quietly, neither of us saying a word. I figured I needed to break the silence. I could not stress to Travis enough that what had happened was behind us, and there was not a thing we could do to take it back. I was confident that we both were mature enough to still maintain our professionalism at work. So, curiosity is killing me. I know we said we will move past this moment, but I just have to know. How was it? I tried to make humor of the question to lessen the tension. Travis almost choked as he began to answer my question. You are hilarious, Mackenzie. Do you really want an answer? Travis was trying to sound shy and innocent in his response. I gave him this look as if to say, just answer the damn question. Mackenzie, it was the best few minutes that I've had in a long time. The whole ride over, I was thinking that maybe because I'm in such a vulnerable state of mind is why this occurred. But to be honest to you and myself, I have thought about that moment for a long time. You exude sex appeal. What man would not want to test the waters with you? But no need to worry. What happened will not go beyond us. Trust me when I say that my demeanor towards you at work will not change. I just smiled at Travis' response. I was sort of shocked because I had never looked at him from a sexual standpoint. I figured it would be best for us both to just change the subject to the primary reason that he and I both had agreed to hang out. So what's going on, sweetie? What had you in such a foul mood earlier? You definitely have not been yourself the past few days, I said. Well, Mackenzie, you know, even the most laid-back dude has issues. Yeah, I feel you on that, I said, referring to his comment about having issues. Travis went on to tell me about his ex-wife and why he was in such a funk. Basically, she was being a bitch. You know how bitches can be sometimes. She had gotten laid off from her job, chasing behind some dick. She called Travis stressed because she had just found out that she was pregnant, and the dude she had been chasing behind was starting to ignore her now that she was with child. Travis had mentioned his ex-wife to me before, briefly in passing. You would have never guessed that he used to be hooked up with a hood rat by looking at him. Mackenzie, I gave her everything. She did not need or want for anything. She had before she asked. All I asked was for her to be upfront and honest with me. I helped her to get her cosmetology license and all of that. I was out there busting my ass so that she could go to school and not have to worry about bills and shit. I even helped the bitch get a shop when she ended up losing because she did not keep up on the rent of the building. I never expected anything in return for all that I gave her. All I ever wanted was for her to give me a little one and take care of our home. Yet, she kept saying she was not ready to be a mother and that she was too busy at the shop to do what I needed her to do at the house. I never pressed the issue. I respected her decisions. She was my wife, so I knew it would come in time. You could see the pain in his eyes as he was talking to me. This was the first time he had gone into detail about his marriage. Then I found out the bitch was fucking around on me. The money I was giving her, she was spending on some little young-ass dude that hustled outside her shop. That was my breaking point, Mackenzie. We have been divorced for about 2 years, and I have never regretted leaving. I just took it for what it was worth. I never got mad about the cheating shit, but to hear that she is pregnant has taken me to a place where I never thought I would be. Mackenzie, prior to our little episode, I have not been able to be with anyone else because deep down I always thought that maybe she would come around and be on the same page as me. But I guess that is what I get for waiting and holding on to hope. Do you know how many women I have passed up because I wanted her? Travis, I really do not know what to say. We all have been in that situation where we wanted someone that did not want us back. You should not feel stupid because of the choice you made. Love sometimes makes us do things that don't always make sense. But what you have to do is take it as a lesson learned so that you do not find yourself feeling this way again. Travis and I continued to talk about relationships gone wrong and all the bullshit we had experienced in life. I wanted to get his mind off his ex-wife and make him see the brighter side of things. Travis, you are indeed a sweetie, and the right lady will come around one day. You deserve it. He leaned over the table and kissed me on my cheek. I'm going to run to the restroom. I'll be back, he said. We had talked so much I had barely touched my food. I took a few bites of my steak when I looked up and saw Travis walking back to the table with a guy who looked very familiar. Hey, Mackenzie, This is my brother Tyrone. What the fuck? I know I had this dumbass look on my face. I remember picking up my glass of water and downing it. You have got to be kidding me. Brothers? Who would have ever put that shit together? On top of that, I had not heard or seen Tyrone in a minute prior to that day. Who would have ever thought when I saw him, it would have been under these conditions? As much as I was at Jay's house, we hadn't crossed paths there. Shit, I thought his ass had moved to the ATL like everyone else does when they get tired of the city. Hello, nice to meet you, I said, confused as hell. Ty, this is my friend from work I told you about. She's mad cool. I will have to let you read some of the poetry she be writing. Mackenzie, my brother is into that erotic poetry like you. Oh, okay. That is interesting, I said. Tyrone, into poetry? I really was tripping. The only thing I thought Tyrone was good at was fucking. Shit, I did not know the fool could read, yet alone write up until that point. Tyrone and Travis chatted for a few minutes while I sat there looking all dumb in the face. You would have thought I had seen Jesus. It took me a minute to get out of this state of shock. All I could think was, 2 hours ago, I fucked Tyrone's younger brother. Well, it was nice meeting you, Mackenzie, Travis said with his devilish-ass grin as he walked away from the table. Same here, I responded in a sarcastic tone. At this point, I had a fucking attitude and was ready to leave. I had lost my appetite. Thanks for dinner, Travis. I really appreciate it, I said, hoping he did not notice or question the dumbass look I had on my face when Tyrone came to the table or how my mood had suddenly changed. The car ride back to my spot was long as hell. As soon as we pulled up, I jumped out without even asking if Tyrone wanted to come in. I think my actions even caught him by surprise. He waited until I got into my building before he pulled off. As soon as I got in the door, I collapsed on the couch. I was replaying everything that happened in my head. 1 + 1 was not adding up to me. Brothers? This shit still was not registering with me. Even to this day, it does not register with me. As I was sitting there deep in thought, my cell phone rang. It was Tyrone. I knew I should have changed my number. I'm the only person I know who has always kept the same number. What was even worse was that I still had his number saved in my phone. What? I answered with frustration all in my voice. So, you are the sweet young lady that my brother has been chilling with. If only he knew that sweet little lady was the same one I had shared stories with him about. The one who almost had me gone. Tyrone, what do you want? Damn, Kenz, is that how you greet an old friend? We have not talked to each other in a very long time, and this is the treatment I get? He still had that arrogance about him. Tyrone, don't go there with me at all. Who would have ever thought after all this time we would cross paths under these circumstances? Damn, do I sense attitude? You act like you weren't happy to see me, he said. Tyrone, I'm not happy to hear from you, yet alone see you. Should I be? You have not attempted to call me in all this time, so why the fuck call me now? I do not have time for this bullshit. The sound of your voice no longer makes my treasure box quiver and throb with anticipation of you entering me. You do not have pull like that anymore. So, you saying we can't get in there one more time for old time's sake, his arrogant ass asks? Hail to the no. I ended the call after that. His ass was taking me to a place I did not want to be. I was instantly reminded of how arrogant he was. I have to admit, knowing that Tyrone and Travis were brothers made me feel very uncomfortable. Travis looked at me as being a very innocent woman. Bad enough our little quickie would make him think otherwise. But what if Travis really did tell him about all the kinky stuff we had done during our little sex capade? I still wonder if he did to this day. I really value my friendship with Travis, and I did not want it to end with any tension or guilt. I damn sure did not want it to end because of a fling I had with his brother. I really hadn't known, so that should account for something, should he ever bring it up. Man, this was some crazy shit. It may not have been so bad if I had not had that quickie with Travis. The next day at work, I avoided Travis. I did not know if Tyrone had called him and laid everything out there or not. I could see his ass doing something like that just to get back at me for hanging up in his face the night before. For about a month, Tyrone continued to call my phone, but I sent that shit straight to voicemail every time. I have a rule that I never go backwards. His ass was old news. I knew that Travis liked me as more than just a friend, and it would be fucked up if I went back to sleeping with his brother. Travis never asked me anything about his brother, and I never offered any information. I was sure that he knew something had happened. There were other instances when the three of us were in the same company, and I think Travis picked up on the awkwardness during these moments. Still, he never said anything, and eventually our friendship fizzled out once my internship ended. The phone call. The phone rang and damn near scared the hell out of me. Thinking back to the days of Tyrone and Travis had put me in a zone, I could not find the damn phone. I must have left it on the dresser. I shrugged and figured whoever it was will call back. By this time, the water had gotten cold and the candle had turned completely to wax. I was looking like a wrinkled old lady when I finally got out of the bath. I drained the water and headed to my room to check the caller ID. When I looked at the caller ID, I saw it was Milton. My heart started to race. I looked to see if there was a message, but there wasn't. I contemplated whether I should call back or not. Shit. Call me up because I called back. No need for both of us to be stubborn. I felt like a teenager calling a boy for the first time when I dialed his number back. All sorts of things were running through my mind. What if he was calling to say that he was not coming back? The phone rang four times, and as soon as I was about to hang up, he answered. Hello? Damn, he sounded so sexy. Hey, did you just call? Yeah, I did. What's good, I asked. Nothing. Then there was this awkward silence. I felt myself getting pissed. Why the fuck was he calling me if he was going to sit on the phone in silence? We have shit we need to be talking about. So I figured I'd break the silence by asking about his mom. Oh, she's doing fine. He answered in a hesitant tone. He sounded like I caught him off guard with that question. Then there was silence again. This time it lasted 10 fucking minutes. Yes, I timed it. This dude was tripping. I guess he was hoping I would not call back. Shit, at this point, I was wishing I hadn't called back. So I took a chance and asked a very bold question, hoping maybe it would spark a conversation between us. So when are you coming home? Kins, I'm not sure when I'm coming home. Reading that shit hurt me. Here I am about to walk down the aisle with you, and then I found out some shit that I never would have imagined about a woman like you. This is some shit you should have told me, not some shit I should have read. Milton, you are indeed entitled to your feelings. I give you that. But I just feel that you are overreacting. Everything that you read was past tense. Old shit from back in my college days, several years before you even came into my life. Now, had it been some current stuff, then hell yeah, you should be mad. No, I did not mention it to you because I did not see why it would be relevant to what we have and us getting married. I am sure there's shit about you that I don't know. I don't know. I just needed to get away from that house. I needed to clear my head. You say your past is not relevant to your life, but what if one of my boys know someone from your past and brings that shit up to me? Hell, as far as I know, I could be face to face with these people and not even know it, he continued to say. So you're telling me that you are more concerned about what people are going to think about some shit I did in the past? You show me a person that doesn't have anything buried from that past, and then I will stop bitching about this whole matter. This shit is crazy. One better, Milton, we have been together for over a year. Had any of your boys known anything about me or anyone from my past, they would have said it by now. Your fucking friends can't hold water. Same goes from anyone from my past. Had they seen us out and wanted to act out, it would have happened by now. Be fucking honest with yourself. It would have happened by now. My blood was boiling. I could not believe the shit he was saying. Well, I did not call you to argue. I just wanted to check in on you. I know you have not been by yourself in a while. I'm about to get out of here. I'll catch you later. Sure. That was the only response I could give at this point. When I got off the phone with Milt, I just stretched out across the bed and stared at the ceiling. I still had not gotten an answer on when he was coming home. He still sounded pissed. I was in a no-win situation all the way around. All I could do was pray that he would come around so we could get past this. The next day at work was a little better. The students, for some odd reason, were catching on to the lesson and asking very good questions. I was enjoying the interaction because it kept my mind off the shit I was dealing with at home. Between worrying about my wedding and having daydreams of the things I was coming across in these old journals, I was on an emotional roller coaster. So, as we can see, Milton is still in his feelings. We've also learned a little bit more juice about our girl Mackenzie. Brothers, have you ever been in a situation where you've dated someone and then years later or down the road dated someone and found out that they were related or really best of friends? I guess that could be like really, really, really awkward. But I guess in Mackenzie's defense, it's not like she had romantic relationships with either of them or wanted to pursue romantic relationships with them. But I guess overall, it could be weird because you just had this amazing 10-minute quickie with the brother to a guy that you had a, you know, somewhat exclusive sexual dealing with, and, you know, we're feeling his brother to the point that you guys had to back off because feelings were starting to come into play. So, as you can see, the juice is continuing. We're definitely learning more about our girl Mackenzie and her past. Milton's still being stubborn. So, with that being said, I hope you've enjoyed. Tune in as we continue on the journey and see what happens next. Until then, be you, be amazing, be fabulous.